I just want to thank you this morning. I want to praise you for your goodness. Lord, you are good. You are always good. Lord, the world we live in isn't always good. We ourselves aren't always good. Lord, the things that happen to us aren't always good. But Lord, we can rest knowing that you are good. And Lord, I pray that whatever our circumstances, whatever our situation, that you would help us to understand, help us to rest in that. Help us, Lord, to look to you for your goodness, for your holiness, your love, your mercy. Lord, because that's where we are strong and that's where we grow. And so, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the message we'll hear this morning. Lord, I pray that it will be one that that builds us up, that strengthens us, Lord, that helps us to understand something of who you are, that helps us to be able to live for you, Lord, in this life that you've called us to, in this place, well, whatever place it is that you've chosen, that you've called us to. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, let the words I speak bring life this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. There was a few weeks ago in a Sunday morning service, there was a little bit of a theme came through. There's a couple of words that were spoken about the storm. And it was interesting while that's happening, and I just felt I had something in my heart that about the storm. And I felt it was from God, and actually felt it was not just for me, but something to share to the whole congregation, to the whole church. But of course I waited too long, and then the worship was over and there wasn't a chance to share that. I don't remember exactly what it was now, but I got thinking about that, about the storm. Because God wants us to have peace in the storm. But we don't always find that easy, do we? And so I got thinking about, well, what is it that God wants us to do in the storm? What is it that we can do in the storm that will help us, that help us to, you know, not to lose our equilibrium, if you like, not to lose our peace, but to make sure that we can, we experience God and we allow that to be, you know, a positive in our lives, not a negative, but certainly we know that God is hanging on to us. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, is what to do in the storm. I don't want to talk so much about, well, you need to know that you can have peace, and you need to know that you need to lean on God, and you need to know that, all things work together for good. Because when you're going through the storm and somebody comes and tells you that all things work together for good, don't you want to punch them in the nose? Maybe when you get a little more further down the track of sanctification and all that, and you outgrow that. But usually when you're in the storm, that's the last time you want to hear that. You need to learn that. You need to understand that. It needs to be part of who you are before you come to the storm. So what I want to talk about is some things which I believe, I see in the Bible, in the storm, the things that we can do which will help us. And I'm not going to get through the whole message today, so it's going to, we're going to have to put it on hold to hear the end of it. Given we've got a couple of things coming up in February, it may be a little while that you have to hang on to the rest of this message. But that's what I want to talk about this morning. It was interesting. So yesterday evening, I'm sitting at my desk. The curtains are open. I'm looking out, and there's some darkish clouds out there, and they're coming across, and they're getting slowly darker. And I'm wondering if it's going to rain. And then I'm thinking, there's possibility of thunderstorms forecast. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be great if there was actually a storm tonight? What a great way then to introduce my message tomorrow, but there wasn't a storm. So I'll just have to try and paint the picture for you another way. When we think of storms, there's possibly a lot of different things that could come to our mind. You know, there can be rain, too much rain, excessive rain, it can be wind, we can have wind storms. Certainly, cyclones, hurricanes, tornadoes, when you've got an excess almost of, an excess of wind and rain coming together. And there's certainly a storm that I'm thankful I haven't have been in. You know, there's hailstorms, thunderstorms, dust storms. One that's been too real recently is firestorm. There's a blizzard, which is a storm. All these things are storms, but they may mean different things to each of us. Some of these are really things that are quite natural. They're just multiplied, you know, multiplied to excess. I mean, rain is very important, but when we think about a storm, we're often thinking about the rain being multiplied to excess beyond what we can handle. You know, certainly the wind, fire, necessities of life. The snow is a natural thing. I'm not sure where thunderstorms and dust storms come into that, hailstorms. But often the storm can be actually just something that's a natural part of life, but which has come upon us to, you know, in excess, to beyond what we would normally be able to handle, to what we're normally used to. And storm is a word that's quite often used, you know, in our literature, particularly in our songs, in our poetry, about, you know, or it's used to describe, you know, things that are difficult circumstances. We think of that old hymn, if you're familiar with it, Rock of Ages. The story behind that is the minister was walking and got caught in a storm, and he found shelter under this rock. And he got thinking about that, and then he thought about how Jesus was the rock who gave him shelter. And the song is about how Jesus is the rock who gives us shelter from sin. And he doesn't just give us shelter. He's actually dealt with sin completely, hasn't he? But the same thing then, that the same idea that we find shelter from the storm, we find in Jesus this place of refuge, this place where the storm can't hurt us. Just as in Jesus, if we commit our lives to him, we find this place where sin can't hurt us. And certainly can't hurt us in the idea of keeping us separated from God and from what he has for us. Well, we find that in Jesus that we can find this place where we can't be hurt by whatever it is that the storm is. There's that song which has become linked as a spiritual song, You'll Never Walk Alone, which is actually very much a secular song, which begins, when you walk through a storm, and it has that picture all the way through it. And, you know, and it's not just that in the Christian songs, it's not just in the church that we use this idea of storms to describe difficult circumstances, challenging circumstances. But we see it, you know, right through secular songs. Funnily enough, you know, there's a lot of secular songs, secular phrases where they talk about the rain, you know, as a, when things are going bad, well, it's a rainy day. It doesn't quite gel with me, which is why I say, you know, it depends on, you know, what do you think about it in the storm? I mean, as an old cattleman, and I say old, maybe I shouldn't say old. I mean, as someone who spent 25 years as a cattleman and it's still in his blood, I know rain is money. So if you want to describe a rainy day, I'm thinking about a good day. I love the rain. And actually even, you know, my wife doesn't share this love with me, but to a point I love thunderstorms as well. I love the thunder and lightning, as long as they don't get too close. But I love to be able to observe them. I do remember one day we're actually surveying a paddock, about 160, 180 acres it was. And so we've been out there most of the day and this thunderstorm's coming and I'm looking at the lightning and I'm admiring it. And it's getting closer. And then I realise that I'm standing here holding a piece of aluminium 2.5 metres high. And I think if the lightning gets close, it's going to find that aluminium very attractive. But generally, I like those storms. So for me to describe what is a storm may not be a storm for you. But there are things in our lives which we find the challenging circumstances. We find the difficult circumstances. And we describe them quite often as storms, other words that appear In the Bible also uses trials, uses tribulations, uses afflictions, uses the word troubles, all these things. But today I just want to talk about the storm. You know, we know that unfortunately we face storms in our lives. But what we can't do is pin down, you know, a point where they all come from. Because if we actually look at the storms in the Bible, it's really interesting. See, Jonah was running away from the Lord and found himself in a storm. The disciples twice found themselves in storms when they were obeying the Lord. Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the lake. They were doing what Jesus said and they found themselves in a storm. Jonah was running away, the disciples were obeying. You know, Paul found himself in a storm because the centurion and those in charge wouldn't listen to him and they wouldn't listen to common sense. And actually there was probably, a bit of money involved there in their thinking too. He found himself in a storm that was totally out of his control really. That could have been avoided if people had listened to his wisdom. It's in Acts 27, if you're wondering where that is. You know, Elijah saw the power of the Lord displayed in the storm. But the revelation of God for him wasn't in the storm, it was in the still small voice. So he saw the storm, but then he experienced God. And yet we see that God spoke to Job from the whirlwind. And so there's a lot of storms, there's a lot of different meanings, and so we shouldn't think that we find ourselves in challenging situations because we've disobeyed God, because we've done something wrong. We can't even guarantee it's because we're doing something right. The only reality is that we are challenged at times. And in the same way, then the storms in our lives can take many forms. You know, there's some that come from the enemy that are designed to hurt us, the ones that the disciples found themselves in. It wasn't so much them the devil was after, it was Jesus. But they found themselves, the enemy was trying to hurt them, trying to destroy them. As it says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. And so we can find ourselves in circumstances because the enemy is trying to steal from us or kill or destroy us. There are things that God allows because they test our faith. They provide an opportunity to grow. And then there's the ones that we get ourselves in because of our own decisions, because of our own lack of faith. And then we find ourselves down the track and we're in the middle of some circumstances that are difficult. In talking about storms, we don't necessarily understand everything about them. We can't necessarily understand, or we don't necessarily understand everything that's happening. See, certainly when people are battling sickness, we can't understand that because the promise of God is for healing. And I would certainly encourage people to keep praying, to keep reaching out for the healing. And yet so often in the meantime we're waiting. You know, we're going through the difficulties, we're enduring the difficulties of the sickness, of whatever it is that we need the healing, the deliverance from. And so we can't necessarily understand all of that, and it's we can't pinpoint it down, and we'll put it into a box, I guess, as we heard this already this morning. But we can know that God is with us. We can know that it's an opportunity for God to do something and grow us, to teach us, or maybe it's just an opportunity for God to deliver us. Another thing we can know is we can know peace. Peace, so often we know in the storm, in the midst of the storm. I mean, it's pretty easy to have peace when nothing's going wrong. But the peace that really makes a difference in our lives is when we have peace in the middle of the storm. And yet, the reality is that often in the middle of a storm, we struggle with these. You know, we might know in our head that, well, I should be having peace or I can have peace. We might know in our head that maybe God's using this. We might know in our head that God wants to deliver us. But often in the storm, you know, we struggle to get a hold of that. We struggle to go through that. And that's what I want to share this morning, some things which I believe will actually help us if we can remember and if we can do these things. The things that I've found in the Bible, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible about trials, about afflictions, but I've just gone and looked at the storms and what the Bible said about storms and just tried to limit it to those things. And they're things that I see that the Word is talking to us about, things that we can apply to our lives. And I say these are things that I see the Word talking to us about. They're not necessarily things that I automatically apply straight away all the time. But they're things I believe that if we begin to apply them, you know, we will find ourselves, we will experience that safety, that peace that we know we can have. Now for us, just like in the natural, storms can take many forms. For us, storms can take many forms. Maybe it's sickness, financial problems, our relationship problems. Actually, so many of the Psalms, there's a whole bunch of Psalms that start with either, Lord, why have you abandoned me? Or why does everybody hate me? Actually, it's not so much why does everybody hate me, but I hate all my enemies and God, why don't you kill them? So in the Psalms, in the Bible, we see this understanding of what we're going through. But as I said, it's not necessarily easy to grab a hold of that while it's happening. But those Psalms that start off that way always end up with the psalmist finding refuge in God. We can find ourselves storms that are seemingly overpowering temptations. Why do I keep falling for this every time? You know, it can be concern for our family members. It can be persecution, not something we experience a lot of in this country, but still we can find ourselves shunned for our beliefs. We can find ourselves ridiculed. It may be something we have to experience more. A storm can be just when God seems far away and there doesn't seem to be any reason. It can be unanswered prayer. Lord, I've been believing for this thing. Lord, this is a promise you gave me all these years ago. Where is it? And they can become storms in our lives, and they can be the things that we're battling with, that we're dealing with. And so I want to share some of these things, some of these principles that we see in the storm but can apply generally to our lives. There's the idea here that they will encourage us, but also help us. You know, there was a Sunday school class, and they were concerned. The mother of one of the children was quite ill and in hospital. So the teacher decided that all the kids should sign a get well card for her and write a Bible verse on it to encourage her. So they all start thumbing through their Bibles. One little boy writes his name, and beside it he writes Matthew 5, verse 26. Truly I say to you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So hopefully, just in a few minutes I have left, I can share a couple of things that might be a little more encouraging to that. So the first thing that's important to do in the storm is that we build on the rock. Okay, and often, I guess in reality, the storm, it's a bit late in the storm to be building, so but we need to make sure that we have built on the rock. And I know Trev's just been talking a little bit about building on the rock as we start this year. But I just want to share just a couple of thoughts on that. So in Luke chapter 6, which maybe, hopefully at least won't contradict what Trevor's been sharing, but in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49, we see Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now we know if we're going to build a house, we need to have a good foundation. But something which really opened my eyes to this verse, I have a book at home, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. And in this book, the writer, I've just forgotten his name, I think last name starts with B anyway, because I've got my books alphabetically, by author. But he talks about in a lot of the land of Israel, there's a layer of rock and on top of that is clay. Now clay sets very hard when it's dry, doesn't it? And so if you want to build a house, you actually need to dig down through the clay onto the rock. If you just put your house on top of the clay, then when the storm comes and when there's enough rain comes that it starts to flood, then what happens then is everything between the house and the rock will get washed away. Now you can't dig down and you can't build the house and lay the foundation in the wet season when it's wet because the clay is just too soft. You can't do it. You've got to do it in the dry season, but the clay sets very hard. And so there's a lot of work involved, so there's the temptation just to say, well, blow it, I'll just put it on here, this looks pretty hard. I know a little bit about clay, where we were on the farm there, you know, that even on the sandy parts, you know, you might be able to get a foot, if you were lucky, of reasonably easy digging. You're trying to put in a corner post, you've got to go down 3 feet. You get down the first foot okay, then you've got 2 feet. Of clay. You get the crowbar. You won't take out that much. Clean it out with the shovel. The crowbar again. And that's the same thing as what Jesus is saying, that if you want your house to stand, then you've actually got to make sure you build on the rock. And this idea, it can sound a little bit like works. We don't want to get thinking, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. But what it means is we've actually got to make sure that we get rid of everything else that we might have built our lives on, that we might have be using for our foundation. Our foundation has got to go right down to the rock. Our lives have got to be built on Jesus and only Jesus. And what he's saying there is not that we need to do good works, but what he's saying is it's not going to be easy. You've got to take the heart away. You've got to make sure. Because if there's anything that we have built our lives on, if there's anything between us and Jesus, you know, Jesus might be in there, but if there's anything else, when the storms come, it's going to get washed away and our house is going to crumble. That's when we're going to crumble. We have to clean away every other foundation. You know, friends and family are important, but they can't be what we build our lives on. And there are other things which are important. You know, maybe a good work ethic and things like that, a desire to learn. All these things are important, but they can't be what we build our lives on. It's got to be built only on Jesus. Otherwise, in the storm, as it says there, we won't stand. You know, our friends and family, as important they are, but we need to remember that they're human. They're imperfect. To build our foundation on the rock, on Jesus. You know, there was a shipwreck and everybody was lost except for one little boy who was swept by the waves onto a rock. He spent the night on that rock and next morning he was found, he was delivered, he was rescued. And somebody said to him, he said, "Did you tremble when you're on the rock?" And he said, "Yes, I sure did. I trembled all night, but the rock didn't." And Jesus, he's not going to tremble. He's not going to move. So we've got to make sure that our lives are based on him. That's our foundation. And it's the same idea as what we see in John 3:16, that whoever believes in him will not perish. Believe is not just, oh yeah, Jesus, he's real, he came, he died. Believe means to trust our whole life to him. And that's what it means to build our house on the rock, that my whole life is trusted. I'm trusting my whole life to Jesus, to what he said, to his character, to what he wants to do in my life. His ways, his teaching, everything. The second thing is we need to, or it is helpful at least, to remember the awesomeness and power of God. And we see in Psalm 29, a psalm about the storm. It's only a short psalm, fortunately, so we'll read that. It says, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple everyone says glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." What the psalm is saying is that God is over the storm. He's more powerful than the storm. And the psalm mentions several things. It mentions the storm, it mentions the lightning, it mentions the flood. It mentions the cedars of Lebanon, which are apparently are mighty trees, huge trees. But it says God is bigger than them, God is stronger than them. Everything the people would think was impressive, God is bigger. He's able to control, he has authority over, he has power over. He's able to direct them. He's able to destroy them if he wants to. You know, even as it says there in verses 10 and 11, it talks about the time of Noah's flood. Well, God was still in control. He's in control at the time of Noah's flood, and he still is in control. So everything we might think is powerful, God is more powerful. God is bigger. God is stronger. God has authority over. The psalm is actually written by David in answer to the worship of Baal. It's a debunking of Baal. Baal was seen by those who worshipped him as the god of thunder, and so they're, you know, as sort of lord over the storms, I mean. And therefore he must be very powerful. And David says, "Ha, Baal, look at Yahweh. He made the storms. He's much bigger than him." And so whatever we would want to compare, whatever things we look around, we look at nature. Hey, God's bigger than that. God made that. You know, looking at the storms as can be a bit of a negative in a way. But Romans 1 talks about, look at the creation, look at the stars, look at the majesty of what God's made. Remember the awesomeness and the power of God. Now, when we're going through the storm and it's taking a little longer than we perhaps wanted, we can think, well, God, why don't you use some of that power right now and just change things for me? And that's understandable. But we just need to remember that whatever we're going through, God is bigger. God is more powerful. If we remember his greatness and his power, then we can have peace. Then we can learn to trust him in the storm. And so remembering too then that he's also Lord over death. So that, and as I said, you know, if we have sickness, we should believe for our healing. But even if it doesn't work, hey, God is still Lord over death, and he showed that in Jesus. They killed Jesus. They put him in a tomb, and yet he rose again. He rose for our benefit. He rose to give us life, but he also rose to show us that he is Lord over death, and we don't have to fear. So if we remember the awesomeness and power of God, then we can have peace. And so because he is over the storm, then we can take refuge in him. Because knowing that he will keep us safe. Just Psalm 46 verses 1 to 3. Just talk about that. So God is our strength and refuge, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its reviling. And so we can have that peace. We can take refuge, and we can know we can take refuge if we remember that God is more powerful, that God is stronger than that. It's very interesting that the psalm goes on and actually seems to talk about the church, the body. You know, we don't put our trust in the body, but the church is one place that we can take refuge, because the church is bigger than just Sunday morning. But it's a place that God has put for us to take refuge. But we take our refuge in God. And we can do that when we remember he is stronger, he is more powerful. The third point, I just want to finish with this. I just want to mention it briefly as we move into communion, is that we need to continue to believe. We need to continue to trust. And you might think, well, that sounds pretty obvious. But I just think there in Luke chapter 8, where the disciples found themselves in the storm. And they're afraid. I mean, many of these are fishermen. They would have been in storms before, but they're scared of this one. There's something powerful about it. And when they wake Jesus up, he says, "Where is your faith?" And that can seem a bit harsh. Hey, hang on, this obviously there's something special about this storm. They're seriously thinking it's going to be the end of them. Jesus says, "Where is your faith?" We go back to verse 22. He said, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Jesus said, "We're going to do that." And it seems they'd forgotten that. You know, Hebrews 13 verse 5, "I will never leave you or forsake you." If we can have the stewards come and hand out the emblems, please, just as I just finish this. And I'll pick up on this point again next time that I get to share about believing, about trusting. You know, we see there that God won't leave us. We hang on to that. We hang on to his word. The disciples had forgotten that or weren't sure of the power of Jesus' word when he said, "Let us go to the other side." They'd forgotten that. That's why he rebuked them for their lack of faith. The other things which I won't talk about today, but which are coming up, other things to do in the storm. We rely on God's strength. We need to pray. Again, you think that's obvious. But we don't just pray for ourselves. We pray for others as well. We need to make sure we continue that compassion. We continue the service. We don't just get wrapped up in ourselves. We continue to obey. We ask what else God may be doing in my life through this. And remember that the storm, remember that the trials, whatever they are only temporary. So I spent quite a bit of time just painting the picture of what the storm might be. But for each of us, it can be different, which is why I did that. You know, what is it that you struggle with? What is it that causes you to find difficult circumstances which are challenging? It's not necessarily the same that I do. See, because if you're going through difficult times, I mean, I've got lots of advice I can give you. And it's easy for me from my point of view. But there are some things which we need to understand. There's some things I believe we can help us with. Again, the three that I mentioned today. Make sure our life is built on the rock. That our foundation is Jesus. That we believe in our total trust, our total belief is in him. Remember the power and the awesomeness of God. And believe and trust, you know, what God has said. Continue to believe him. Just as we come to communion in a moment, I just want to read a song. For those of you who have heard me sing, you know why I'm going to read the song. This was originally written by a wonderful African-American preacher named Charles Tinley. This is actually a shortened version. And the recording I have and the arrangement was by a fellow you may have heard of named Elvis Presley. 1967 on his album, How Great Thou Art. And it talks, and the name of the song is Stand By Me. Now there's a lot of songs. If you go to whichever you Google or whatever you use, type in Stand By Me, there's a lot of different songs will come up. But this is the one that I'm using this morning. It talks about the storms. And it really flows on, I think, particularly from the last point about continuing to believe, continuing to trust. It's called Stand By Me. And as we read, it uses the word stand by me. But if we can remember, we're not just asking God to stand by us. There's an element of faith in that. When the storms come, you do stand by me. You stand by me, God. It's not an order. That's faith. Thank you, Glennis. And so if we just take a moment, I'll just read through these words and just think about them. They might apply to your situation. There might be something to think about in the future. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. And just as we come to communion this morning, that's just the thought I want to leave with us. If you're going through the storm, you know, we can be sure God will stand by us. He's not the one who's going to leave us. You know, there's some things in that song that may be relevant. You know, maybe growing old and feeble, our friends don't understand. We feel like we're being tossed on the storm. Whatever it is. We can take the communion, we can remember that God is with us. It's a good time to realign, to reaffirm. If things are going well for you now, then maybe that's not relevant for you. But what we do a communion, we remember that Jesus came. He gave his life for us, that we could have new life. Just give thanks for that. But if you are going through the storm, and if you're struggling with that, what we have here is a reminder of what Jesus was prepared to do. He was prepared to come, to live amongst us as one of us, to give his life for us, not just any death, about an horrific, horrendous, torturous death for our benefit. He was willing to do that for us. And if he was willing to do that for us, he's not going to leave it just that, okay, you're saved now, just get on with things. He's going to be with us. We can be sure of that. Whatever we face, whatever we go through, whatever we need him for at this moment. So, Lord, I just want to thank you. Wherever we're at, whatever our thoughts, whatever our struggles, Lord, you won't leave us. Lord, I know at times we need to be reminded, at times we feel like you're a long way away. We feel like, sometimes maybe even we feel like we've been abandoned. But I thank you, Lord, that the truth is you won't abandon us. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning that we would be encouraged to put our faith in you, to trust in you. And Lord, that we would allow ourselves to experience your peace. We would allow ourselves to experience your strength, which you give to us. Lord, we'd even allow ourselves to learn whatever it is we can learn through this. But Lord, most of all, Lord, that we would be able to give you glory because, Lord, you have brought us through. Lord, you have given us strength. Lord, you have given yourself for us. And all the praise, all the worship belongs to you. So, Lord, I thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name.